Appreciate everybody being here today. I'm lucky to be here this morning. I'm still going to the doctor. We've been there 10 weeks now. I feel like 10 months. And the wound has healed completely. And it's closed up. The wound was that big when we first started off. And now it's completely covered. But the callus is keeps growing. And they have to keep cutting it every Monday morning. And it's hurting like crazy. Now, it's like having an open wound and somebody pours alcohol on it. And it stings like crazy. And that's what's going on right now. Plus, the speakers got messed up. But everything else seems to be okay. Keep in mind that I think my job every 2 weeks is to convey to you and myself that this is a trip that we're on. We're going to heaven. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe in him, we're going to heaven. But the problem is that so many of us are not having a good time and living in total faith at the journey. Some of us have taken grace and put it to the side, and where most of us have opened this package, and grace is a gift to us. He had to pay his stripes for us, and confession, and we've done it. We've done everything we possibly can. But it's a tough ride sometimes. And somebody, it's just like a football team getting together and talking before we go out. Or what they call, that's why we call it a huddle in the auditorium. That we have to be motivated sometimes. And that's why it's so important to have fellowship, to get together and be with Jesus and understand what we're supposed to do. Understand that we have a mission. And the Bible calls it a purpose. Thousands and thousands of us are going to hell. Hundreds and hundreds of us are going to heaven. And the thing that we need to understand, and that's why we have to, we fellowship and we get together, and sometimes we huddle up. It's just like a team that huddles in the middle of the field. You often wonder what they say. Well, they may get in a huddle and call red right, 22 trap on two. Red right, 22 trap on two. Ready, break. But sometimes he gets in, and the coach will send in a special player to say something. He'll say, John, make sure you get that backside linebacker. Bill, make sure you drive that guy out. We need help over here. Come on, guys. And we use the term suck it up sometime. Get together. And if you're in that huddle and you're not thinking right, you need to do something. It's important that you understand that. And that's why I feel like that's the thing that I'm supposed to do in those 2 weeks that comes around for myself, is to help motivate. It's important. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 and 4, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. For he chooses us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Think about that as we go today. And before we go any further, I would like to go to the Lord in prayer. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the many blessings you bestowed upon us. Lord, how can we count the ways that you're so good to us? Thank you for your blessings. That's why sometimes it's just so important that we look in the mirror and just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you do for us. And sometimes, Lord, we have to go through pain. We have to go through agony. But we don't live and thrive and exist in the agony of defeat, the agony of falling apart. We've got you, Jesus. You're our adopted brother. You're our friend. You're our helper. It says you are. It says you're our counselor. You are our judge. And we realize the Holy Father has to see us through the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus, we know that you love us, you appreciate us, but you want us to get better. This is a Jesus, the Lord of truth and not condemnation. You did not come to condemn us. You come to give us salvation, and that's what we're looking forward to. Bless every brother and sister in this room. Thank you for loving them and loving us all. And I pray that you'll be with us and rest. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We should regularly praise and thank God for all the spiritual blessings that He gives to us, such as our salvation and our inheritance in heaven. Praise Him also for the spiritual blessings that you cannot see, such as joy, inner happiness, and hope in your heart. Give praise and worship to the merciful God in whom all our spiritual blessings come. When the pressures and troubles of life are wearing down on you, praise God for the abundance of His blessings that we give you daily. Unquote. That's why I think it's important, and we're running out of quick time already, when we say this is my Bible. There's a special reason for people to believe in the Bible. And sometimes we feel so alone. And I've heard a pastor talking on Christian Broadcast Network. He was talking about how David was alone. King David was all alone. He talked about Paul, actually his conversion, that he was lonely. And sometimes, have you ever been alone? You know, you may have your spouse there with you. Even sometimes the kids are still there. But sometimes you're just sitting alone and you feel all alone. We know we go through times like that. And it's important for us to understand and stay together. Spiritual blessings is so important. Keep in mind, as Christians and brothers and sisters, God is faithful and He's eager to answer our prayers and forgive our sins. We need to learn to praise Him with the same enthusiasm we have when we ask for His help. Now, when my foot starts hurting or some wound starts happening for you, you know how you pray sometimes? Sometimes we even get brave enough to get on our knees and say, God, I need help. I need help. My daughter did this or my son did that. And things are so bad, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we pray. It's like Jesus at Gethsemane. And the Bible says that it was so tough that his forehead was like little blood came out of it. And they say that for someone is electrocuted at a prison that night, right before they start putting things on, that sometimes the sweat in their forehead, the blood vessels break, and blood comes out right in here. Well, the Bible mentioned it, said that blood, sweat was like blood, that when the pressure comes. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that when we pray to get help, somehow or another, as we mature as Christians and we go through hardship, make sure you have a purpose, that you understand what we're supposed to be doing. And you thank God once you know He loves you. He loves you the way you are, according to the Bible. It says that. But He wants you to be better. He wants you to be better. And that's why we talk about it, just motivated, a huddle, come together. Guys, we need to love God more. We need to understand why things are going. I don't understand why this foot's doing that way, but there's a reason somewhere. There's a reason somewhere. And you have to understand it. And I hop along all the time. Sometimes I get upset about it because I can't do the things I used to do or want to do. But I put a goal in front of me. That goal is, it's going to get better. It's going to get better, or I'm going to die. And so what we understand is, make sure that we ask for His help and also praise Him. Have the same enthusiasm. Let's do our part. Be doers and not hearers only. Know God's way. Some of us, we hear, but we don't read the Bible. And a lot of times, a lot of people come over to the house and talk. And I was talking to one of my athletes, and he kept talking about Brother So-and-so. Brother So-and-so said this. Brother So-and-so said that. And that didn't sound right on something. But everything he said was called Brother So-and-so said something. Most pastors and leaders will say, go back and read it for yourself. That's the important. Read it for yourself. You may leave out a pronoun. You may leave out a verb or an adjective or something like that, and it changes the whole complex of the statement. So that's why it's so important. That's why we mention to you every Lord's Day, every time we get together, read your Bible. Read the playbook. Make sure you understand what's going on. Hear the gospel. And read the Bible. There's a purpose for that. And sometimes on our journey, we have difficult. We're going to heaven. We know that with the royal blood, your royal blood, the Bible says, Jesus loves you. But sometimes you need to understand that if I just only read the Bible and put my trust in Him, things would be a lot better. Things would be a lot better. There's nothing like being in a huddle on a football field and things are going great or whatever it may be, but you get in a huddle, there's I can't describe it, but those of you that have played, you understand what I'm talking about. There's just something about doing the things that you can do. And sometimes when we feel bad or we do make a mistake, everybody comes together. That's why you see somebody says, that, why they hug each other? Because they love each other. They go through a lot of trouble during the week. And so sometimes we as Christians, we isolate ourselves and don't have the time to come together and hear the gospel and read the Bible. And I know when you say something about reading the Bible, it good intentions. It goes through one ear and right out the other. And sometimes when you're laying in bed or you're hurt or something tragic happens, then you start thinking, I need to know the Word. I need to know Jesus. I need to know that Jesus is there with me. Remember, practice, and do all the things you have been taught and have learned from faithful, believing Christians. And that's important. Sometimes I'll be lying in bed, and sometimes the pain will be hurting, but this song keeps coming back from 1955 or 1956 when I was in what they call a junior church at St. Bernard Methodist Church. It's one of the greatest women teachers I've ever been under. Miss Dawes was taught so much. And it's talk about how faith opened Jericho. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. And it's important that we sometimes remember. Sometimes little things like in kindergarten, sometimes most of us can remember things. Remember, little hands, watch what you do. Little eyes, what you see. Little mouth, what you say. And little ears, what you hear. Sometimes we make choices. Even though we're going to heaven, we make bad choices. And we have to pay for it. There's a consequence that we have to have. And you have it, and I have it. And sometimes we forget who we are. And that's one time that we need to stay together. We need to stick together and love together and be together. If we talk the talk, like I'm talking right now, if we talk the talk, and we use this in the military too, if we talk the talk, we must walk the walk. It's important. People are watching and observing us. You know, if you see a football player all week, you talk, well, I'm going to hit him, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And sometimes you think, I wouldn't be talking too much. And then Friday night comes and that guy beats the living daylights out of this guy. And you come around, what happened? I thought you was going to do this, going to do that. So we have to learn, and we learn. You just have to learn that when time comes, I'm going to do the best I can. Sometimes at the time to shut up, and sometimes at the time to speak. The Bible says that. He says, be quick to hear, and be quick, and be slow to move and talk. It's important that we understand that. And people are watching and they're observing us. And people laugh about what I say all the time about Walmart. But, hey, they're watching you. They're watching you. Where you put your carpet, your carpeting, whatever they call them, buggies, I used to call them. But it's in time. And one other thing I think we as Christians wrong. Don't you see food, they'll go down and pick 50 grapes and eat them and then walk away. They'll buy a package of something and eat it, and there you'll see a car, open a bottle of water and stuff like that. We can't do that. People are watching us. It's important. You belong to us, and we belong to you. It's important that you understand that. Don't bring reproach upon us, and it's important that I don't bring reproach upon you. Somebody says, well, you don't get fired up at church like you do at a football game. But a football game, if I get fired up, I want to kill a referee. But I'm not going to get so fired up then. So we express our expressions differently. some people get fired up and they can do this and that thing, and I got where I can raise my hands now. But other things, sometime when we first got here 8 weeks ago, we came from a conservative, legalistic situation. And I was just amazed that people were running around, people doing things like that, and I thought people were dying. And I didn't understand what was going on. But after 8 years, and we almost ran away one time and Rhonda got a hold of us and threatened us, but we're here. And it's important. The journey that we're on, love it. Understand it. There's a reason for everything that's been saying. Our lifestyles will either validate or deny the message we proclaim. If we say one thing and we go back and do the opposite thing, and we do something like a bunch of knuckleheads go out there and somebody else sees it, it's us. We're doing wrong. Realize that we make mistakes. But we're like Jesus, children. We are his children, but yet he's our brother. Pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. And it's important that God sees you. God sees me through the eyes of Jesus. And by that way, when I'm talking, you ever been on a cold night in wintertime, and you're sleeping, and you got a sheet and spread and a little cover over you, and you get so cold, and you know at the foot of the bed there's a blanket folded. But you're so tired and you're so cold, you just don't go up or sit up, get the blanket and pull it up. Or your joy, pull the blanket up. But what I'm trying to say is that we get in a situation that way that we don't understand. Sometimes there's a term we in football, suck it up. Do what you have to do. There's time to be tough and a time that you have to do that. And the message that we proclaim from the book of James, the 4th chapter, verse 17, and I quote, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins," unquote. Read that again. Quote, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, sins, unquote. Express yourself and be able to tell of the hope that's within you. When you see something that you could change, and sometimes if you're at Walmart or you see someplace, something, Joy was talking about a person one time, she came up then, and she wanted to buy one little piece of chicken, a chicken leg, and that's all she had. And sometimes you just gonna have to reach in your pocket and help and not be ashamed to. That sometimes they just, God wants us to do things. And this has the sins of omissions and sins of commissions that we mentioned about all the time. Somebody asked me one time, I said, well, I can't find that in the Bible where it says sins omit. The Bible is loaded with things that you shouldn't omit. And the Bible says the things that you should commit. So the sins of commission, I do things. Sometimes if a bunch of us gets drunk on Friday night and we're trying to change and we keep coming back and we confess and we say we're wrong, we're not going to do it. And Monday we're real holier than thou. And Tuesday we're real strong. And Wednesday we're about to get through it. And Thursday we get that itch to go do something that we know that it's wrong. And the guys say, come on, let's go. And we know that it's wrong and we do it anyway. That's the sins of commission. You commit something that you shouldn't do. And it's important that we understand, God, forgive me, have mercy upon me. John 3:16, everybody knows. But John 3:17, a lot of churches don't preach. He says, think not that I bring my son to earth to condemn, but to have salvation. New Testament is a fact of bringing you hope. And telling you that grace is important. You have to open grace up. You have to believe in Jesus. Grace is given to you, but so many of us do not accept the grace. And if you don't accept grace, then you're condemned. It's important we understand that. We are ambassadors to God, and no one can serve two masters, for you either love the one or spur the other. I've talked to many people that way. I've talked to people that love the Lord so much, they just, it's all in them. It's a pleasure to talk to them. And I talk to people and say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I thank you and everything. But they talk about what they're sinning, and whatever we're going on. And each one of us may have something different, but we have sin. We make mistakes. And in Proverbs, the sixth chapter, I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. And this is important. Sometimes we don't want to hear this because it's like a coach getting on to us in practice. Sometimes a coach will grab somebody by the face and say, we told you, Jack, five times not to step with the outside foot, step with the inside foot, hold that gap at all costs. And you're not doing it. And sometimes they shake you. They've grabbed me by the face many times. And I've grabbed some others many times too. But I always grab and put my arm around them after practice and say, I love you. And I was talking to you as a player, not as a character and not a personality. So it's important. It's important as Christians that we understand. Listen, and you've read it 1,000 times, but sometimes you need to read it again. And sometimes it makes people nervous when you read about things like this. They're on a journey, but they don't want to pay the full price. Well, shut up and tell them what it says. These six things the Lord hates. Now, I'm in Proverbs, the sixth chapter, verse 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, he hates these. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Okay, here it goes. A proud look that you're better than anybody else. And you think you go to church and you laud it over people. A proud look. A lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. I've seen guys in the army, everything they said was a lie. Everything. Recruiters especially. They just lie. And sometimes there's people, I've seen football players and coaches and staff, and just keep lying. Everything they said is a lie. That proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Talking about murderers. And there's people that would actually do that. A heart that devises wicked plans. Read that again. A heart that devises wicked plans. Some people are so wicked, even though they go to church, they cause problems. Feet that are swift run into evil. Sometimes we know that it's evil and we run to it without even thinking about it. And that's a thing, that's a consequence that you're going to have to pay for that. A false witness who speaks lies. Somebody doesn't tell the truth. And the last one, and one who sows discord among brethren. Read that again. And one who sows discord among brethren. Sometimes if a person doing right, doing the best that he can possibly do, or she can do, somebody messes them up. We must know who we are and have goals, values, and morals, and principles and dreams. Time is fleeing, life is short, and the hand just went up. I've got 2 minutes before they fire me. And the thing, what I'm trying to say to you, I'm not trying to condemn. I'm just saying that we need it together. And Brother Roy will be back for you for 2 weeks, Lord willing. And when I come back in 3 weeks, we're still talking about Christian conduct, the way we should act on the way to trip. And it's important that we understand that. And sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes I get my feelings hurt because I do something stupid. And consequences, you're going to pay for it. You understand? I love you. Y'all have a great time. God bless you and hope to see you next week. Thank you.